Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And he is for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? He is with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. With us not only in the morning and in the evening. He's with us, as the song said, in the good times and the hard times. He is always faithful. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah and amen. Take your Bibles today and turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to be speaking to you today about a simple subject. Walking. Not physically, but spiritually. Walking and dealing with fellowship with the Lord, etc. But it's kind of like physical walking. Physical walking, though, for most Americans is a lost art. I know there's some that go walking as a form of exercise and so forth. But you know, it wasn't too many years ago, 95 ain't too many, that there weren't very many cars and buses and trains and so forth to be able to catch. Vicky's dad would tell us stories about living in West Virginia growing up, and him courting his girl, and if he wanted to see her, he would have to walk for several miles. He would walk there to see. He said, on the way walking down the roads there to get to her house, very seldom would there be a car that went by, because there just weren't that many of them in that day owned by Americans. Now, it's not too many Americans that don't own at least two. We have a lot of things that have changed. We don't walk as much as we used to. Therefore, I think some things has changed with our health as well. I noticed and reminded of when I took a trip over to Israel, one of the things that impressed me was the terrain. Because you read in the scriptures that they walked just about everywhere they went. And it was not like just walking down here to Walmart on the side of the road, but they were walking through some mighty rocky type country, and it was more difficult. But we kind of lost the art of walking. Learning how to walk is not and was not easy, and yet every one of us started trying when we were just infants. Learning to walk spiritually is very much like learning to walk physically. And just like we didn't quit learning to walk physically, we shouldn't quit learning to walk spiritually. So I've entitled the message today, Learning to Walk with God. Father, I pray that you would allow me right now to have a clarity of mind, to remember and be able to share clearly the things that you have laid upon my heart with this particular topic, the scriptures that we look at, that it would make it very clear. We also, Lord, ask for your Holy Spirit to empower me to be able to share your word, and we acknowledge that it is the powerful word of yours, and I pray that it would be received as such today, that you may spark our hearts with encouragement. And Lord, challenge us to live for you in such a way that you would be pleased. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. First thing I want us to understand is that we should learn to walk. We should learn to walk. Just as every person physically able learns to walk physically, so all Christians should learn to walk spiritually. So what do I mean by learning to walk, or by walking spiritually? The way that we live, the way that we behave, that's our walk. The way that we act in a spiritual, godly manner is what I'm talking about. The way that we behave ourselves as believers. And there are three things that I want you to understand. First of all, here in Galatians 5, we'll get to, we are instructed to walk. God instructs us. And before I get to Galatians, there's a few other passages I'll give you some information from. Psalm 37:23, for instance, says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God orders or directs our walk and how we are to go and where we're to go and live and how we're to be there. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. It includes trusting God, our walk does, and God knows best. Some people struggle with their trust of the Lord because they don't really understand or believe that He knows best. He knows what's going to make us the happiest. He knows what's going to bring about the best situation for our life. But He does, and we ought to trust Him. So we walk by faith, or should walk by faith, not by sight. Romans 6:4 says, we should walk in newness of life. Why? Because we're a new man. Anybody in Christ is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. A process God begins there at salvation and starts working on us. But He's given us a new life. We are a new man. We are a new person. And therefore, we should walk in newness of life. And here in Galatians 5, and look at verse 16, it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, that means in the positional sense, we're saved. If we live in the Spirit, then let us also walk in the Spirit. That's our practice, our practical walk. And so if we are in that new creation, we are that new man, that new person, we're saved, then we ought to walk like what we testify that we are. We ought to walk like the believer. We ought to walk trusting the Lord because He knows best. We're to walk the way that He orders in our life. Also in Ephesians 5 and verse 15, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." We're to walk carefully. We're to walk cautiously. Back last year, I heard and actually saw a little video clip that there was a small bear about 200 yards down from the church parking lot here, less than 200 yards. And I went zipping right across the road. My first thought was, where's Mama? Where baby is, Mama's got to be somewhere. But here we are in Holly Hill Subdivision. I have a habit at night. Before I go to bed, I go to our back door, and I flip on the floodlights, and I kind of look out there. Now, most of the time, I see a deer. I see a bunny rabbit rubbing around a little bit there. I have seen possum before and things. I had a possum that was, I looked around, didn't see anything. All of a sudden, my eyes focused, and there he was up on top of my bird feeder. And I went out there and tried to scare him away. He didn't even move. And so I encouraged him. Leave it at that. I haven't seen him since. But anyway, I've often wondered, you know, what would I do if I turn that light and all of a sudden I'm seeing a black bear standing in my backyard? Anyway, thank the Lord, I haven't seen that yet. But if I were to tell you today, as I've told you before with this illustration, that we have just seen, somebody came in and said there's been a black bear walking out between the cars out here, smelling, trying to, I guess, just find some food somebody left out there. And so when we dismiss, y'all be careful if the bear is still out there, you know, be aware of that. So when you dismiss today, you go out there and you would be looking around, trying to see if that bear is still out there. Well, that's what walking circumspectly means, in a circle. They're speckly. These are specks. And so we're to walk cautiously, looking around there. So God tells us there's all kinds of things about our walk that we should be involved in. We're to walk God's way by God's Holy Spirit's power. And while watching our step, lest we trip, and all of these things are important, we are instructed to walk. Secondly, we are commanded to walk. Over into Micah 6. In Micah chapter 6 and in verse 8. Let's see if I can find him here. Here we go. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, and Becca. Find Jonah and take a right turn. You'll be there. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. It says here, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee." All right, God has showed us what is required of us, he says. "But to, first of all, do justly." What does justly mean? Do the right. Justification, to be declared righteous. So just has to do with right. We are to do what is right. And we're to love mercy. Not giving unto someone what they really deserve. We, on the other hand, through our flesh, always want to do the opposite, don't we? We want to give them everything they deserve and then some. We need to have mercy, love mercy, and walk humbly. How are we to walk? We're to walk humbly with our God. God tells us what He wants us to do. He commands us that we're to walk humbly. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, it says there, "He that saith he abideth in him," in other words, I claim that I'm a Christian, I'm one of God's children. "He that says he abides in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." Who's the he? Jesus. We're to walk like Jesus walked. How do we know how Jesus walked? Right here. we look in the Word. It's about Him. It's all about our sanctification as we take the Word of God and we look at the glory of the Lord. The Holy Spirit then can take that and change us into the same image. We can walk like He walked. And so we are to walk humbly. We are to walk like He walked, like the Lord walked. Did He walk humbly? Philippians chapter 2 tells us He did. He came into this world. He humbled Himself and became a man. He not only humbled Himself to become a man, but He humbled Himself further and became a servant as a man. He humbled Himself even beyond that and was willing to die. And not just to die, but to die the death of a cross. We see the humility of the Lord. We're to walk like He walked. Walk humbly with our Lord. So we're instructed to walk, we're commanded to walk, and then we should have a desire to walk. It's hard for me to imagine that there are some people that don't have any desire to drive a car. You know, when I was a teenager, I could not wait to the day I could get my learner's permit. I couldn't wait to the day I got my driver's license. I had been driving since I was that high. Different things, tractors and lawnmowers and even my dad's 69 Beetle in the cemetery going around through, you know. Every opportunity I got, my granddaddy had a, I don't even know what year it was, but it had the old Ford truck because it was in bad shape, three on a column. And I would take that thing down and drive it through down by the barns and everything. And the tractor, Grandma, he called it. The battery was dead, but he said, if you can get it started, you can drive it. And I had paid close attention. It was sitting on a little incline up under the lean-to of the barn, and I got up there, I turned the switch on, I put it, you know, the clutch in, I put it in second gear, and I let it start rolling. And I popped that clutch, boom, there she goes, and I'm going down, and he's coming out, whoa, wait a minute! But I know of some people that, as an adult, they have never had a driver's license. I know of one person that I'm thinking of is not anybody in here. I'm not talking about anybody in here. But I know of a person that she's in her 20s and has no desire to get a driver's license. That doesn't compute with me. I don't understand that. Desire. But what about if we don't have any desire to walk with the Lord? We're to have a desire to walk with the Lord. I can't imagine physically anybody not wanting to try to learn to walk. But I know that there are some people that can't. There are some folks that the Lord, for some reason, has made it where that's an impossibility. But for those that have that possibility, I think all of us have learned and tried and become efficient in walking. We had a desire. And when it comes to our spiritual walk, we're to have a desire as well. As it said there in Psalm 119:133, order my steps in thy word. Order my steps in thy word. That is his prayer. That's his desire, that God would do that. And he goes on to say, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Iniquity, sin. We talk about falling into sin. When we talk about walking, falling then would be that aspect of walking that sin is. We need to be careful not to fall. We can trip and fall. We're not walking with God while we are falling in sin. We're not fellowshipping with Him when we're in sin. Sin breaks that fellowship with the Lord. And so we need to learn to walk. We need to have a desire to walk. God has commanded us to walk. He's instructed us to walk. But we need to be careful not to fall. We should learn to walk. Secondly, we should learn to get up. Turn with me over to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. What do you do when you fall down physically? You jump back up and see if anybody was looking. That's called pride. We get up, hopefully. Just as we fall physically, we will fall spiritually. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us experience fallings, failures in our walk with the Lord. But we must learn to get up. How? What do we mean by fall, as we're talking about here? If walking has to do with obedience, falling has to do with disobedience, sin. What do we do when we sin? I hear it out there. We are to repent and confess. Repent means to make an about turn. I changed my mind. I don't want that. I'm turning from my sin. I'm turning to the Lord, and I confess it. I say the same thing about my sin as what God says. That's what the word means. I admit that I sinned, and I name it. I lied, or I lusted, or I coveted, or whatever the sin was. I confess it unto the Lord, and He is faithful and just to forgive us. He says He'll remember it no more. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't have to be embarrassed in God's sight for any sin that I have repented of and confessed genuinely to the Lord. Because it's not on His mind. As if it had never been committed. It's gone. Thank the Lord for His forgiveness, for His mercy. The remission of sin. His sin is removed. We are to get up. Here in Psalm 37 and verse 23 says, as I read a while ago, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Discouraged there is talking about to give up. He should not be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. God is there to help catch us. God is there to help pick us up. God is there, as the song said there. He doesn't leave us. He's with us there, the good and the bad, the difficult. He's with us all the time. Tom Farrell used to make this statement. He says, don't give up, get up. I can see him saying it right now. That's what we need. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verses 9 and 10 says, begins by saying, two is better than one. And then it goes on to say, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe unto him that is alone when he falls, for he hath not another to help him up. I remember some years ago when my mom was still living, Dad had already passed, and she was there at the house living by herself. And Mom loved to get out in the yard and work, and she'd do different things, pick up sticks and all of that kind of stuff. And she was out there doing it that day, and went around to the side of the house. And on one side of the house, on the opposite of the driveway, is kind of narrow, have big bushes in between their house and the neighbors. And another tree and some other things. So it's kind of hard to see. Well, she tripped and fell. And she couldn't get up. Fortunately, she didn't break anything, but she just couldn't get up. And the neighbor was not home. And so she cried out. Nobody could hear her. She laid there in the yard for hours before we found her. And that is an example of how sad it is for those that fall who have none to help them. I thought about it even this morning I was in here early this morning. I was about leaving out of the auditorium about 7:45, and I had the choir notebooks all stacked up here on me. And I was heading over to the steps here to go down. I couldn't see, and I thought, am I there, you know? And it just struck my mind, what if I were to miss that step and take a fall right here and break my hip? Woo! Ain't nobody else going to be here for a while. Fortunately, I did have my cell phone with me. And unfortunately, I didn't fall, I'll put it that way. But it has happened before. It reminded me of at my house, going down my front steps. I had a big box in my hand. Going down, got to the bottom step, I thought. And I went to take that next step, and it wasn't the bottom step. And it was a ways to go a little bit there, and I took a fall, and the box went flying, and I went flying. Fortunately, I didn't break anything. Couldn't say the same thing about the box. But those falls can happen physically, and falls can happen spiritually. And if we are a loner spiritually, we don't have someone to help encourage us in the getting up and the repenting and the confessing and the starting to walk again. I heard of a story of French Foreign Legion who would say, if you trip, we'll catch you. If you fall, we'll pick you up. But if you quit, we'll shoot you. Now, quit means, you know, if we quit trying, if we apply it to our message today, if we quit trying to walk, I'm not saying we're going to shoot you. But we should learn to walk, and we should learn to get up, and we even should seek to be there for our brothers and sisters if they trip and fall. Instead of judging them, well, they should have been more careful, or they should have been watching where they were going. They should, you know, let's be there and be an encouragement. Ye that are spiritual, seek to restore such a one. And we're to have that mentality, that heart for it as well. Note also that it doesn't matter how good you can walk, you can still fall. It can still happen. Whether you step in a hole, whether you trip on a root, whether you miscalculate the number of steps or stair on your stairs, we all fall from time to time. Proverbs 24 and verse 16 says this fact. It says, for a just man, man falls seven times and rises up again. What did Tom Farrell say? Get up. Get up. And that's what we need to do. Immediately repent of your sin and confess it unto the Lord. Then start walking circumspectly again, which leads us to our final point. And that is that we should learn to not to fall. We should learn to walk. We should learn to get up. And we should learn not to fall. Proverbs chapter 3, if you'll look there with me, please. Proverbs chapter 3. In our youth, we learned to walk and to get up when we fall. And have you ever noticed that it's a lot easier on young people when they fall to get back up again and not get hurt, or if they do, to heal very quickly? They're a little bit more limber, closer to the ground for those that are just learning to walk. Physically, the older that we get, the more it hurts when we fall. Therefore, we need to learn not to fall. How do we do that? Well, number one, I think experience teaches us a whole lot. I've learned a whole lot of ways not to fall by experience, because I've fallen. We learn how to identify dangers in looking at something that's uneven ground. Looking at something, you know, I got to make sure I hit these steps and not with the wrong part of my body. We need to identify the dangers that are there. We need to be more cautious and aware of the possible snares of the devil, the temptations, the tricks. We need to be more attentive to the warnings that God gives us in Scripture. Spiritually, that's the way it is and must be. Here in Proverbs 3, verse 21, we pick up reading. It says, "My son, let not them depart from thine eyes." What is the them he's talking about in context here? God's wisdom and knowledge and discernment. "Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace unto thy neck. Then shall thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble." What is he saying here? We need to have God's wisdom, the knowledge of what he has to say, and that discernment of how to use it in our lives. We're to grow in that, and it helps us to identify dangers. It helps us to recognize the snares. It helps us to identify the temptations and how to guard ourselves from falling for them. God's word is important for us to understand. Learning God's word that brings knowledge, wisdom, and discernment for our walking. So don't stand beside the couch because it's safe, but step forward and walk. Try to obey. Try to do what God has ordered of your steps. I'd rather be one who tried to walk and fail than one who never tried to walk at all. We've got to try. We've got to put forth the effort. When you fall, then repent, confess, get back up, and start walking again. Learn to watch out for Satan's devices. His schemes of attack. And keep trying to do what is right. Just walk humbly with your Lord. When you have the opportunity, catch another. Or help them get back up. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. What a great truth. And a practical application of how we ought to be looking out for one another. Let's be encouraging one another. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day coming. What if it were today? We are to be here, not just for what we can get out of the service, but we're to be here to encourage, to exhort one another, to help, encourage to walk, to help pick up when someone has fallen. We need to be a part of it. Our family, we look out for each other, knowing that God always looks out for us. He'll never fail us. Every head bow, please. Where are you in the message this morning? How well is your walk before the Lord? Are you trying to walk in obedience? Are you fellowshipping in your walk with the Lord right now? Or is sin that you've fallen into broken that fellowship? If so, why not right now say, "Lord, help me to get up. Help me to turn from my sin and confess it honestly before him." He will forgive. And then start walking, seeking to do what he wants. Is there something that he has been speaking to you about that you've been resisting? Why not right now? I'm going to have a little different type of invitation this morning. I'm just going to have the instrument start to play. We're not going to sing the words, but just listen and let God speak to your heart right now. You can go ahead and start.